Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, about 12 lines from the bottom. V'rami d'ramei d'ramei b'daraisa. Just to quickly review, we learned in the Mishnah the din of hamatame v'madame v'manasech. Somebody does any of these acts, the Mishnah said b'shagi pot b'meizet chayiv. Then the Gemara quoted a braisa, a machloikas Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda, where Rameya said that you chayiv both by shogig and b'meizid. Rabbi Yehuda said you only chayiv b'meizid, not b'shogig. And the Gemara explained that the basis of that machloikas was the concept of konsu shogig got b'meizid. To Chazal, not only penalize someone who does this b'meizid, the Gemara says that everybody agrees, hezek nikoloi shmei hezek. The question is, in what circumstance did Chazal choose to penalize the person who did this? According to Yehuda, only b'mezid. According to Meir, Kontzu Shogig got the mezid, and even by Shogig, Chazal penalized the individual who did this. Then the Gemara went on to say, that a Meir who says Kontzu Shogig got the mezid only holds of that concept by the Rabbonans, but not by the Raisas. Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara said, just the opposite. Only holds of that concept by the Raisis and not by the Rabbonins. So now the Gemara, we begin, ask the following question. Rami Ramea, the Ramea by the Raisa. We're saying now that Ramea by the Raisa does not say country shogig or to mezid. I'll show you differently. The Tanya, the Raisa says, Hanotei b'Shabbos, so somebody plants a tree on Shabbos. If he did it b'shogig, yikayim. B'mezid, if he did it b'mezid, da'loch is ya'akar. He has to completely uproot that tree. Or b'shvius, but if he did it in the Shemitah year, b'ein b'shogig, b'ein b'mezid, whether he did it b'shogig or b'mezid, da'loch is ya'akar. Divrei Rameya. So the Gemara's question is on the Shemitah. Shemitah is obviously a deraisa. And yet Rameya is selling us that both b'shogig and b'mezid ya'akar. I was saying by the Raisis, Rameya doesn't say kontzu shogig or tumezid. So the Chazonish asks, why didn't the Gemara give an obvious answer? That we're referring to Shemitah b'zmanazeh. The Shemitah b'zmanazeh is the Rabbanon. And by the Rabbanon, we're saying the Rameya says the kontzu shogig or tumezid. And that we can understand the Raisis very well. Answers the Chazonish. If we're going to say that by Shemitah b'zmanazeh, both b'shogig and b'mezid were going to be machmer, we're going to have a very interesting situation, he says. This year, Shemitah is deraisa. So it's only going to be usher. If somebody planted a field in the Shemitah year, only b'mezid will be usher, b'shogig will be mutter. Next year, when Shemitah becomes derabbanan, will be more machmer. Doesn't make any sense to be more machmer by derabbanan than by the Raisa from one year to the next. I mean, I'm not saying this year. This year is not the Raisa either. I'm saying from the year that it became the Raisa to the Rabbanan. That's why the Gemara didn't give that teretz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So the question of Rameya we have right away. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shviyas b'shogig yikayim, or b'mezid yakar. By Shemitah, we're b'shogig, he could keep the tree. B'mezid, we have to cut it out. Or b'shabbos, and by Shabbos, he's machmer, both b'shogig and b'mezid. So Mepharshim ask a number of questions. First of all, the question that the Gemara had on Rameya is not only a question on Rameya. This is Rashi's question. It's just as much a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Here Rabbi Yehuda is saying that by Adoraisa, we don't say shogig or t'mezid, and that's why shogig yikayim b'mezid yakar. We just said in our introductory remarks that Rabbi Yehuda holds that by a deraisa, we just said in introductory remarks, Rabbi Yehuda holds by a deraisa, we are goyzer shogig or t'mezid. So why doesn't the Gemara ask a question on Rabbi Yehuda? Why is the Gemara only asking a question on Rameya? So I saw two answers to this question. The answer Rashi gives is that's indeed part of what the Gemara meant. The Gemara didn't only mean to ask a question on Rameya. The Gemara also means to ask a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Another teretz that I saw is as follows. We already have a precedent that even though Rabbi Yehuda says that by the Raisis we are goyzer shagigot to mezid. Sometimes we make an exception to that rule. What is the exception to the rule? Avodah Zarah, we learned yesterday. If it's a very serious daraisa, Rabbi Yehuda says the regular rules don't apply. So we could say that Shemitah follows the same model as Avodah Zarah, and therefore, even though normally Rabbi Yehuda by the daraisa says, Kansu Shagigot to Mezid, not by the daraisa of Shemitah, and that's really what the Gemara is going to teach us very soon. It's also interesting to point out, here the Gemara is teaching us, well, Tamech, let's go a step further. Tikshlahach Gufa. Let's understand the Brisa that just quoted Rameya's opinion. Nichti. Hadaraisa for Hadaraisa. Shabbos is a Daraisa, and Shemit is a Daraisa. Maishna Shabbos or Maishna Shvius. Why by Shabbos does Rameya hold B'shogig Yikayim, B'mezid Ya'akir, and why by Shemitah does he hold that it's fine? Why by Shemitah does he say both B'shogig and B'mezid Ya'akir? Why is he treating the Daraisa of Shabbos different than the Daraisa of Shemitah? So before we go further, the Bi'ar Halacha says a very interesting thing. We learned in the previous year, Hamavashal B'Shabbos, according to Rameya, and even according to Yehuda, B'Motzoi Shabbos, certainly for other people, and even maybe for the person who cooked for himself, it depends which opinion, you wait B'Chtei Shiyasa, the amount of time it took to cook the food, and you can eat the food. Why? And here we're learning that if somebody plants on Shabbos, you have to rip out the tree. Why is there the din B'Chtei Shiyasa, and here the din is you have to completely uproot the tree? So the Bi'ar Halacha says a very simple pshat. He says, when I cook something, so the benefit I realize could easily be measured. It took me an hour to cook the food, so that's an hour benefit. So much of Shabbos, wait the hour, you didn't get anything from Shabbos, and then you could eat the food. When you plant a tree, you can't measure, you can't identify, this is the part that I gained from planting it on Shabbos. There's no way of measuring it, and therefore there is no other option than your acker completely uprooting the tree. So we're up to is understanding Rameya's opinion. Why is he, Shabbos, does he differentiate between Shogig and Mezid, Hanotei B'Shabbos, whereas by Shemitah, he says Shogig and Mezid have the same din. Answers the Gemara, Hosram Kedetani Tama. Rameya himself explains his position. On Rameya, Memnei Oimer, why do I say B'Shabbos, that if somebody planted in Shabbos, B'Shogig Yikayim, B'Mezid Ya'akar, and by Shemitah, B'Shvius, I say Bein B'Shogig, Bein B'Mezid Ya'akar. Answers the Gemara, Mnei Shiyasra, Moinon L'Shvius, Vein Moinon L'Shabbosites. We know that a fruit tree that's planted, the first 3 years are orla. Any produce that grows from that tree, you may not eat. But the halacha we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah is that at what point is it considered that 1 year passed? So Gemara says, if 30 days passed, if you planted a tree within 30 days or more before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah comes, 1 year has passed. Less than 30 days, a year has not yet passed. So now, when you plant a tree in the Shemitah year, it's something that everybody's going to realize. Because let's say you planted it this year as a Shemitah year, and you planted it 30 days or longer before Rosh Hashanah. And then, 2 years from this Rosh Hashanah, you'll say, I can eat the fruit. It's already Revai, and afterwards it's completely Mutter. So people are going to start calculating, oh, you must have planted the tree during the Shemitah year. However, if you plant a tree on Shabbos, there's no reason when a person looks at the tree to think, when did you plant the tree? And therefore, we are more concerned by Shemitah than by Shabbos. Dover Acher. And then he gives another explanation. Nechshadu Yisrael al Shvius. People are accused of violating Shemitah. V'loy nechshadu al Shabbos. But we aren't concerned that people are going to violate Shabbos. Says the Gemara. My Dover Acher. Why do you have to give another explanation? His first explanation was a very nice explanation. Explains the Gemara. V'chi tema, Shabbos nami, zimnin demikli yoyim lamed b'Shabbos. Sometimes, knowing what day you planted is very relevant. Let's say Rosh Chodesh Elul was in Shabbos. So now, we're coming to make the calculation. Did you plant the tree 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, or didn't? and you're going to make a calculation, today's Rosh Hashanah, and you start counting backwards, say, yes, I planted it 30 days ago. When was 30 days ago? Shabbos. So people will start recognizing that the tree was planted in Shabbos. Shabbos nami, zimnim de mikla yom lam b'Shabbos. You'll figure out that he planted it on Shabbos. Because if you planted it on Shabbos, who the Salkalei Shata, then you have 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, and it's considered that the tree is already in existence for a year. Viloi, but if you planted it only Sunday was the day after Rosh Chodesh, you don't have 30 days to Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Loi Salkalei Shata. And you don't have a year passing when Rosh Hashanah comes. So even the day that you planted is relevant. So what are you saying that Shabbos, we don't care. People will never figure out that you planted it in Shabbos, but people will figure out in what year you planted it. That's why, Toshma, that's why you had to give a different explanation. Davracher, nechstu Yisrael al Shabbos, v'lay nechstu al Shabbos. But now ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you plant on Shabbos, bein b'shagig, bein b'mezid, you have to uproot the tree. By Shemitah, he differentiates between Shagig and Mezid. Why isn't he consistent? The halacha by both of them, the both the rices, ought to be the same. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda loikasha. But asked Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda lived, Chamir leShvius. People took Shemitah very seriously. And therefore, we're not concerned that people are going to abuse Shemitah. And therefore, only b'mezid, the halacha is Yaakar, not b'shagig. Shabbos, people weren't as careful about it as they were Shemitah. And the Gemara brings an episode to show how where Rabbi Yehuda lived, people were so serious about Shabbos. The Huda Amalei L'Chavrei, somebody wanted to insult his friend, and he called him Dayer by Dayarta. You're a ger, the son, your mother was a ger. Amalei, Ano Le'achle Peri D'Shvi Kavaseich, you maybe could call me a ger, but I'm not as bad as you are because you violate Shemitah. So you see, the biggest insult in the place where Rabbi Yehuda lived, you could give a person, is that they violated Shemitah. Actually, I saw a very interesting psak from Rav Yoshev Shlita, based on this Gemara. He says like this, let's say I buy a field in Eretz Yisrael in the 8th year. I buy a property, and it has a garden, and I see the garden is very well tended. So now the question is, do I have to be concerned that the previous owner worked on that field during the Shemitah year, and therefore I have to rip out the field? Or, since I don't know, I don't have to be concerned. So it says, the reasons that our Gemara gave in Ramea is the concern, Nechstu Yisrael HaShviyas, do we have to be concerned that people violate Shemitah? Or is the only the concern is because which year was the field planted would be relevant, La'aloch L'maisa, in that question. If it's Nechstu Yisrael HaShemitah, so I have to be concerned that the field was planted in the Shemitah year, and I have to uproot it. Otherwise, I don't. I think La'aloch, he seems to be Mekel. Toshma. Just a word of introduction before we begin this Gemara. The halacha is as follows. If somebody eats truma, b'shagig, and these are gzeres akasas, what I'm going to say. This is what the Torah tells us. There's no why to this reason, to this dinim. Somebody eats truma, b'shagig, he has to take produce and pay back. If I ate somebody's truma, b'shagig, the only way I can repay is by actually paying back produce, and that produce becomes truma. If on the other hand, I ate truma b'mezid, I don't have to pay back with produce. I could pay back with money. That's the din. Says the Braisa. Toshma. Ochel truma t'meya. If I ate truma t'meya, mishalm chulim t'ayrim. I did it b'shagig. I have to pay back chulim t'ayrim. What's going to be the din that instead of paying back chulim t'ayrim, shilem chulim t'meya. I paid back using chulim t'meya. What is the din? So Sumcha says the name Rameya. B'shagig, if I did it, b'shagig, tashlum of tashlumim, it's considered acceptable. B'mezid, however, if I did it b'mezid, ain't tashlum of tashlumim. Then it's not considered that I paid back properly. The Chum say, echadzeh v'echadzeh, whether I paid back with chulin t'meyim, whether it was b'shagah b'mezid. And again, most mefarshim explain shagah b'mezid means I did or did not recognize that the produce I'm giving is tameh. The halacha is tashlum of tashlumim. What I did is considered a payment. And as Rashi says, what does tashlum of tashlumim mean? This is what it means throughout Shas. Rashi says that if I gave the kohen these chulin tahirim, it's considered that it becomes the property of the kohen to the degree that were the kohen to use that produce to marry a woman, where the halacha is that you could only use funds that you yourself own, it would be a valid kedushin. However, the chayzim shalom chulin tahirim. Chazal said that he has to repay again another payment with chulin tahirim. And we try to understand Rameya's opinion. B'mezid, amai ain't tashlum of tashlumim. Rameya said that if I ate truma to Meya and I pay back with chulin to hayrin, the halacha is that b'mezid it's not considered valid. And we need to understand this question. Tavla bracha. Actually, what I did was gevaldik. The ochmenei midid the loychazle b'mei tumasai. I ate something, as we learned in the previous year, that really has no value. Because truma tameya, as we know the halach is, no one is ever allowed to eat. And I pay you back, midid the chazlei b'mei tumasai, chulin tameyim, or chulin tahirim, is something that somebody can eat when you're tamei. So if anything, I did you a favor. I ate something that is essentially worthless, no one could eat, and I paid you back something that people can eat. So Rashi asks, the halacha is that as soon as I pay chulin tahirim on behalf of truma tameya, that chulin becomes tamei. Since it's substituting truma tameya, it gets the status of truma tameya. So what's the Gemara saying? That I'm paying you back with something that is better than what I ate? It isn't better than what I ate. It's going to be the exact same truma tameya. Why is the Gemara suggesting it's better? So Rishonim give two answers to this question. One answer that they give is that when I'm taking the chulin tahirim out of my warehouse, out of my house, it's more valuable than truma tameya. The fact that the moment after I give it to the kohen, it gets the status of truma tameya, that doesn't change the reality that I took something more valuable out of my pocket to pay you back. That's one pshat. Another pshat, somewhat difficult, but the upshot is, it's not always that way. Not everybody is aware of this din. It could be that the person didn't come to our shir, and he thinks that I ate truma tameya, and I paid back chulin tahirim. So I did give back something more valuable. He doesn't know the halacha that I just quoted, that the moment it becomes the coins, it transitions from chulin tahirim to truma tameya. In his mind, he's giving something more valuable. So why should he be punished? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Lechadi, Chsurim Echser Vachatani. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Achol truma tameya, I ate truma tameya, Misham Kaldru. Whatever I pay you back is worthwhile. Because what I ate, as we explained a moment ago, is essentially worthless. Achol truma tahir, if I ate truma tahir, so now something that is valuable, a coin could eat truma tahir, Mishalim chum tahirim. I'm substituting tar for tar. Now, the Gemara discusses the following situation. Shilim chulin tameim. I took truma tahira, which could be eaten, and I'm paying you back with chulin tameim, which now is going to become truma tameya, which we said is worthless because no one could eat it. Mahu. What is the din? Sumchus oimer Rameya. Sumchus says in the name of Rameya, b'shoigik tashlum of tashlumim, b'mezid ain't tashlum of tashlumim, v'chamayimrim, as we just learned before, echad zev is echad zev tashlum of tashlumim, mid the raisa, it's fine, v'chayze misham chum tahirim. V'amir rav, acha b'reid rav ikka, hocha, what is the machloikus of Ramei and the Chachamim based on? The concert shogi got the mezid ikka b'nayu. The Rabbanon say that we treat shogi and mezid the same way. Rameya is saying no. Mezid, we're going to penalize him, shogi not. Now we come back to the Gemara's question. We said at the beginning of our shir that Rameya is of the opinion that by a drabonon, konsu shogig atamezit. This is a situation of a drabonon. Because midaraisa, anything I give is fine. So if it's a drabonon, why is Rameya differentiating between shogig and mezit? Didn't we say at the beginning of our shir that Rameya's opinion is by drabonon, konsu shogig atamezit? So how do we understand Rameya's opinion? Answers the Gemara, a tremendous teretz. Hachi hashta. Hosom gavri lishlumikom chavin. Anan neikom v'niknasei, says Rameya. In the case that we learned in our Mishnah in the previous year, b'tama medama menaseich, somebody who does that really has very bad intentions. I'm coming to metama your produce. I'm coming to mix up your chulin with your truma. So I deserve a penalty. And not only, says Rameya, do I deserve the penalty when I did it b'mezid, I even deserve a punishment when I did it b'shogeg. What's the case here? Here the person wants to do the right thing. He ate the kohen's truma, and he wants to pay back. He wants to do the right thing. So, should I punish him? And b'shogeg, he gave chulin to meyim. But he meant to do the right thing. When somebody means to do the right thing, he doesn't deserve punishment. And I saw that the Paiskim, Shem Tzion of Halacha speaks about this a lot, use this concept that when somebody wants to do the right thing, he doesn't deserve punishment in a lot of interesting areas la Halacha. One case I saw, I mentioned three halachic situations. One situation we should never know from such a shayla, but we've all heard of such shaylas, is somebody comes by mitzvah and they buy their son a beautiful, what they think is a beautiful pair of tefillin. A couple of years later, the person takes the tefillin to be checked by a cipher, and he sees that those tefillin, not that they became possible, they were never kosher tefillin. It's very obvious that these tefillin were never kosher. So he's very upset. He never wore tefillin. He made a brachal of atala all these years. Did he do wrong, something wrong or not? So said the Paiskim, Al-Gamar just said, if your intention was to do the right thing, you bought tefillin, you put them on every day, you made a bracha, nobody could say you did something wrong. Another area in halacha where I saw this. Interesting. We know that a woman is not supposed to go to the mikveh Friday night unless it's the time that she's supposed to go to the mikveh. Going to the mikveh Friday night is only for tefillah bezmano. Not that a woman should schedule herself deliberately to go to the mikveh Friday night. A woman should never do that. So let's say you have a woman who thinks she's acting frum, and she ends up holding longer days than she was supposed to, separated from her husband. And now it comes out that she's supposed to go to the mikveh Friday night. Should she go or not? So the Paiskim say, yes, she should. She, by doing this, didn't mean to do the wrong thing. She meant to do the right thing. She was acting religiously. And therefore, we don't tell her not to go to the mikveh Friday night. One more chiddush, very big chiddush. I'm just saying what the Shem Tzion of Halacha suggests. I'm not paskening here. He says like this. We know that the halacha discusses chas v'shalom, if a sefer Torah falls, you have to fast, give tzedakah, different menhagim, what is done. So he says, what happens if somebody does hagbah? Chas v'shalom, as he's doing hagbah, the sefer Torah falls. So he says, perhaps nothing has to be done. Because this person was intending to do a mitzvah. Doing hagbah, we know, is an important mitzvah. Rachman al-Tzlan, as he was attempting to do this mitzvah, something terrible happened, the Sefer Torah fell. He says it could well be that our Gemara teaches us a concept that when you intend to do the right thing and something bad happens, you don't deserve to be punished. Continues the Gemara. Toshma, similar situation. Dam shenitma. Let's say the blood of a carbon becomes tameh, v'zarkai, and you still use it to do zrikas adam. The halacha is, b'shogeg, if this happened, b'shogeg, hurtza. The halacha, the Gemara says, Masech the Yuma, is that the tzitz, that the kohen gadol wore, affected kapara, if one brought a carbon b'tuma, b'mezit loy hurtza. So ask the Gemara again. Here we're dealing with a drabonim. Midaraisa, the tzitz, is always meratza. We're dealing with the drabonim. So why, if somebody is dealing with Rabbanon, are we machmer? Why are we dealing with Rabbanon? Do we differentiate between a shogeg and a mezid? Doesn't Rameh say by the Rabbanon, we don't differentiate between shogeg and mezid? It's Says the Gemara the same teretz. Amlok Rameya, Hachi Hashta. Hasam, Gavil Chapurikov Mechavin. He wants to do the right thing. He's trying to be a car, bring a carbon. A non Nekav and Niknasei. Similar situation. Tashma Hamaisa B'Shabbos. The Aloch is in Shabbos, one is not supposed to take off Maisa. The Gemara Masechet Beyah gives two reasons. One reason is, because it looks like you're fixing something. The food wasn't edible. And now by taking off Maisa, the food becomes edible. Another reason is, because it looks like you're being Magdish on Shabbos, and the Aloch is you're not allowed to make Hegdish on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, HaMaisa B'Shabbos, B'Shoigig Yoichel, B'Mezid Lo Yoichel. We're differentiating between Shoigig and Mezid. I, Rameya, holds by the Rabbonon, we don't differentiate between Shabbos, between Shoigig and Mezid. Answers the Gemara the same Teretz. Hachi Hashta, Hosom, Gavril Sukunika Mechavid. This person is intending to do the right thing. He wants to take Maiser off. Anan Nekav and Niknasei. So I sort of first ask, fine, the person wasn't aware, and B'Shoigig he took off the Maiser and Shabbos. But why isn't this food Muksa? Erev Shabbos, when Shabbos began, Bein HaShmashes, it was still Tevel. So it should be Muksa. She shouldn't be able to eat it anyway. So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is that Muksa is really a state of mind. What does Muksa mean? Muksa means something that I separate from. I think I can't use on Shabbos. So it doesn't make a difference. If I think that I can take it off, I can take off the Maaser and Shabbos, it never becomes Muksa. Another teretz is that since the halacha is b'dievid, you could take off Maaser b'machshava, not by actually physically separating it. That's mutta be done in Shabbos. So food, just because it's tevel, is a muksa. Because there is a way of permissibly taking off the Maaser. Furthermore, say to Mefarshim, after we just learned the Gemara, that if somebody takes off Maaser b'Shabbos, b'Shagig, it is considered a valid hafrasha, that prevents the food from being muksa, because there is another halachically permissible way of removing Maaser on Shabbos. Tashma, hamatvil kelim b'Shabbos. If somebody tovels kelim b'Shabbos, and again, the Gemara Masechta Beyah gives many reasons why one should not be matpil kelim b'Shabbos. One reason is because, again, it looks like you're fixing it. The keli wasn't usable until you do it. Another reason is shemi yischait. Some kelim, you could be over schita when you do tefillah with them. Another reason is because you may purposely wait for Shabbos. Shabbos, we have more time. And you're going to wait for Shabbos to be tovel the kelim. And Chazal obviously did not want that. So the halacha is, again, hamatvul kelim b'Shabbos, b'shoigig yishtamish behem. If you did it b'shoigig, it's fine. But meizid lo yishtamish behem. Again, the same question. Here we're dealing with a drabonon. Didn't we say the Rameya does not differentiate by the drabonon between shoigig and meizid? And says the Gemara, hachi hashta. Hosam gavril taburi monaka machavin. I want to do the right thing. I want to take this keli to the mikvah. Just because I did the wrong thing b'shoigig, anan leikim v'niknasei, now ask the Gemara, v'ramid Rabbi Yehuda v'drabonon. We're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, by a drabonon, we don't say shagig at the mezid. Ask the Gemara the following question, the Tanya. The halacha is, as I said earlier in today's shiur, that fruits during the first 3 years are orla. Orla, the halacha is only bottle, only becomes nullified in a ratio of 200 to 1. One din. Another word of introduction is that something that's choshev, something that's significant, loy bottle, never becomes nullified. So what happened was like this. Naflu. You have very expensive agoizim, very expensive agoizi perich, expensive walnuts that are orla, and they fell in to a mixture of non-orla walnuts. So the halacha is, echad shoigig ve'echad mezid, whether this happened with shoigig or mezid, lo yalu. You can't let them become bottle. Divrei Rameya Rabbi Yehuda, which means like this. They fell in, and they're not bottle. What does this person go and do? He cracks the walnuts, and by cracking the walnuts, they're not anymore davar chashev, because they cracked walnuts, and now they have the proper relationship of 200 to 1, and Rameya says that it's still not bottle. Now right away, Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda say it's still not bottle. So right away we have the Gemara's question. What's the Gemara's question? This din of Eim Vatlan Isl Chatchila, that if you have a situation where something's not bottled, you're not allowed to create it that it should become bottled, is only a Derabbanan. And we're saying that according to Yehuda, by Derabbanan, we distinguish between Shagi Gemezit. Here it says it's a Derabbanan, and Yehuda's treating Shagi Gemezit the same way. That's the Gemara's question before we go any further. So from here, most Mefarshim point out, we see that the rule of Eim Mevatlan Isl Chatchila is a Derabbanan. Because if it was a Deraisa, we could very well understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Even though the Ravid makes the following point. He says to take Isser and put it into Heter in order that it should become bottle, that is an Isser Deraisa. However, after it was done, the Isser to eat it is only Derabbanan. Here we're talking after the fact, where it's certainly a Derabbanan, and we need to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. One more question that the Mefarshim ask. Rabbi Yehuda's the opinion throughout Shas that min b'minoi, like items, loy bottle, never become bottle. So isn't this a situation of min b'minoi? It's all walnuts, so it should never become bottle. So Mefarshim answer that when does Rabbi Yehuda say min b'minoi loy bottle? That's only by dovelach, by liquid, by a salad, like we're talking here, walnuts, he holds min b'minoi bottle. Rabbi Yosef Shimon Aimrim, b'shoigig yalu, if he did this b'shoigig, it becomes bottle, b'mezit lo yalu. So ask the Gemara, v'hocha, the midaraisa, there's no problem. Chad b'trei bottle, as long as you have a roiv, you have bittle. As the Torah says, achi rabim lahatis. V'rabbanan hu, the kakazer, it's only a din d'rabbanan, the kakonis Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda still treats shoigig and mezit the same, answers the Gemara, Hasam Hanatam Rabbi Yehuda. There is a special reason why Rabbi Yehuda was machmer. Mishum da osi l'ra'umi. A person is going to do this deliberately, and then he's going to say, did it be shagig? So in order to avoid that, Chazal treated shagig and mezah the same. Why don't we say the same, asked the Mefarshim Matama Madama, that the person is going to do it deliberately, and he said he did it be shagig. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer that the Chassam Soifa and the Maram Shif say, is that metame medame is an act, is something that's easier to discern if he did a b'shoigig or b'mezid versus this case, which is harder to make that type of determination. Another thing is like this. Metame medame involves a monetary situation. There we're not as strict as here we're dealing with Isser. Is it oral or not? Ask the Gemara, v'ramid Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi. But now we have a steer in Rabbi Yosi's opinion. The Tanan, the tish all of a shalei kalei kerem. If we have all of kalei kerem, shnis arvim the tish acheres. And here too, the halacha is that something that's connected to the ground never becomes bottle. So the halacha is a rei lezer laket. You shouldn't uproot it because it's connected to the ground. Vim liket yale be'echer mesayim. If you did do it, it becomes bottle. Ovach lo yiskavim laket as long as you didn't do it deliberately. Rabbi Yisaimer, afam yiskavim laket. Even if you did it deliberately, Yalabech Mesayim, it becomes bottle. So here we have a question. In the previous Gemara, Rabbi Yossi differentiated between Shagig and Mezit. Here he's saying, B'Shagig it's Mutter, B'Mezit it's Osir. And here he's saying that both B'Shagig and Mezit it's Mutter. Answers the Gemara, Ha'at Ma'Allah, Amrav Chavva, Chazaka en Adam Ois Karma B'Natiya Achas. We don't have to worry that this really happened. Because people don't plant in their field something that doesn't belong there. The Kain also Ravan Rabbi Yochanan, Chazaka ein Adam Ois as Karam Natiya Achas, and therefore there's no reason to make Gezeris in such a situation. Says the Mishnah, and we encountered this in the previous year, how Kahanim Shapoglu B'Migdash, if Kahanim made somebody's carbon pigle, if they did it B'Mezit, Chayovim. So I saw a number of questions on this Mishnah. One question is, here we're dealing with the Drabonon. And Rabbi Yehuda, we just finished learning, it holds. By Drabonon, we treat Shoigig and Mezid the same way. So why did Drabonon say only be Mezid the Chayiv, not be Shoigig? So I saw the Rishonim answer. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says, Kansu Shoigig got to Mezid, we don't always employ that concept. Because if we're going to tell Kohanim, if you do this, the repercussions are very serious. No kohen's ever going to want to bring a carbon. And therefore, even though normally, Kansu Shagig got the mezid, not in this case. Another question is the Chassam Sofer's question. We know the Gemara says Masech the Yevomis that the big day kahuna were klayim. If somebody wears klayim, he's chayiv malchus. So why isn't this a situation of kilayim b'drami? Klayim is only allowed to wear big day kahuna because he's doing the avoida. Here he's not doing the avoida properly. If he's not doing the avoida properly, so why isn't there a concern that he wore klayim and he's chayiv malchus? So he shouldn't be chayiv mammon. So some sofer answers that since if the kohen put on the big day kahuna and he put it on to do the avoida and he did the avoida, even though afterwards he ends up not doing the avoida, since he put it on beheter, it's not a problem. One more question that I saw the mefarshim ask is pigel is during any of the avoidas. So one of the avoidas is shechita, and shechita is kosher bazar. So why is the Mishnah only speaking about Kohanim? Or Yisrael should have the same din. If Yisrael shechted a carbon and he made it into pigel, it should be chayiv. So Farshim answered that there's a difference between a Kohen and a Yisrael. A Kohen can make a carbon pigel during any of the avoidas, whether it's his own carbon or someone else's carbon. A Yisrael could only make a carbon pigel his own carbon, not someone else's carbon. So if we're talking about someone else's carbon, by Yisrael, it can never become pigel, even during the Shechita. Tan Rabban. Hay Oisim HaBetaharis. I was working with your Taharis. V'amaloi, and I tell you, Taharis Shesisimach, the Taharis that I was working with you, Nitmu, became Tamei. Or, Hay Oisim HaBetaharis. I was working with your Kabonis. V'amaloi, Zvachim Shesisimach, the Kabonis that I was working with you, Nispaglu, became pigel, Neman. He's trusted to say that that indeed happened. However, says the Gemara, Aval Omloi, Taharis Shasisimach B'yayim Plani, the Taharis I made on that specific day, Nitmu, had become Tameh, V'zvachim Shasisimach, the Kabbonis that I made with you on that specific day, B'yayim Plani Nispaglu, Ein Anemon. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Why, when I mention the day, I'm not trusted, and not I am trusted. So we have a machlokes Abaye and Rava. Amar Abaye, kosh biyada neman. The difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is like this. In the Reisha, it's still in my hands to make a Tamei. So according to Rashi, so I have a migui, because I could have actually made a Tamei. In the Seifa, it's no longer in my hands. That's how Rashi learns Abaye's Pshat. Tosfos learns Abaye's Pshat. The Chazal gave a person a namonis. Chazal gives that person a namonis only when he can still do it himself. Otherwise, he doesn't have the namonis. Rav Amar, the difference between the Reish and the Sefer is as follows. Going to Ashkechu v'loyim alamidi. I worked with your Taharis, and then I meet you, and I didn't tell you anything happened. And then, I meet you a second time, ulebasei hacha Ashkechei. And then I tell you the second time. Why did I tell you the second time, not the first time? It must be that it's not true. The Rishonim say, yeah, let's say I was working with your Taharis, and I gave him back to you. And when I gave him back to you, I didn't say anything to you. And then I meet you. Is that considered the first time or the second time? Because maybe the time that I gave it back to you should not be considered the first time, because when I'm giving back the job, of course I'm not going to tell you that I did the job wrong. Machlokes Rishonim in the opinion of Rava. V'amalei, and he continues the Gemara, Ha'ud Amalei L'chavrei. There was somebody told his friend, Taharis Shesisimcha B'yayim Plani, the Taharis I made with you on that specific day, Nitmu. Osel Kameh Rav Ami, and they came with this episode to Rav Ami, Amalei Shur Esadin, if we follow the exact halacha, Ein Anemon. He ought not to be trusted, because he already gave it back. Amal Fon Rav Asi, Rav Rebbe, so Rav Asi said to him, Rav Asi said to Rav Ami, Rebbe, at the Ami came, is this what you're paskening? Hachem Rabbi Yochem Shem Rabbi Yossi, Ma Esa, Shatara Himnasa. How could you say that he's not trusted when the Torah says that he is trusted? Ask the Gemara, Hechem Himnasai. Where is he trusted? Amar Yitzhak Abisni, Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur Yimachiach. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is a proof that a person, even after he completed the Avoida, could still be trusted to say that he did something wrong. The Chi Amar Pigel, if a Kohen walks out of the Beis Migdash on Yom Kippur, and says that the kabbonis that I brought on Yom Kippur were pigel, mehemin. Now the question is, we don't have any independent knowledge in that. How do we know that that indeed happened? The ksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, V'chol adam lo yibar el mayid? So we couldn't have heard the kohen gadol make it pigel. Elav mishum de mehemin. Must be that a kohen is believed even after it's in his power to still say something bad happened. So why here are you saying that after he's not believed? Says the Gemara, Dimel de Shemana Pigel. Who says that it's referring to a case that I'm relying on the kohen gadol? I heard the kohen gadol make it into pigel. Says the Gemara, Elav de mehemin. If the kohen gadol is not believed on his own to say it's pigel, Afagav de Sheminu, are us hearing him say that it's pigel, namila mehemen, would not be enough of a reason to believe him. The halach is that a carbon can only become pigel while the avoid is going on. So yes, I heard the kohen saying that it should be pigel, but maybe he said it already after he did the avoid. Ask the Rishonim, there's a big discussion in the Kachim Masechtas, if pigel is only bedibur, saying that I want it to be pigel, or b'machshava alone. Isn't this a clear proof that pigel is bedibur? Because the Gemara is saying that I heard him make a pigel, but a pigel is b'machshava, I can't hear what's in your mind. And so some Rishonim, in fact, say, from here it's a clear proof that something only becomes pigel when you said that it should become pigel. Other Rishonim say there's a difference. If you're making your own carbon pigel, it becomes pigel even b'machshava. Here we're talking about kabbonis that the kohen gadol doesn't own. They belong to all of Klal Yisrael. Those kabbonis only become pigel b'dibur, says the Gemara. So it couldn't be. So just because I heard him doesn't mean anything, says the Gemara. V'dilma d'chazina b'pishvish. Maybe we saw him. We observed the kohen gadol through the loophole, seeing what he did. So kasha. So we don't have a raya from there that a person can be believed even after it's in his hands to do something or not. So the Gemara brings a different scenario. Ha'ud also came to Rav Ami. There was somebody who came to Rav Ami. Amalei, Sefer Torah shekasavti l'ploini, the Sefer Torah that I wrote on behalf of that individual, askar shaloi, the Shem Hashem that I wrote into that Sefer, l'ksavtim l'shmam, were not written l'shma. And as we already learned previously, a Sefer Torah that the Shem Hashem weren't written l'shma, apostle. Amalei, Sefer Torah b'yad mi. He says, who's holding the Sefer Torah? Amalei, biyad lukeach. It's already in the customer's hands. Amalei, neman atol hafzat tzcharcha. You're trusted to say that you didn't write the Sefer Torah properly, and you don't deserve your wages for writing it. Viyata neman hafzat Sefer Torah. But you can't say that the Sefer Torah is possible. Amalei, Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah said, why should he lose his wages? Nei, the hafzat tzchar eskaris. We should deduct from his wages that he didn't write the Shem Hashem properly. Schad the Sefer Torah kulam hefsed, but the rest of the Sefer Torah doesn't have the special din. So why does the Sefer Torah become disqualified? Amalei in. He says the entire Sefer Torah becomes disqualified. Because the halach is, shekol Sefer Torah, she'en askaris shaloi ksuvus l'shman. If the Shem Hashem wasn't written properly, the entire Sefer Torah is worthless. Ein ashava kulam. Says the Gemara, the level like why can't I correct the Sefer Torah by rewriting the Shem Hashem with the proper kavana? Come on. By the Gemara not giving this advice, name a collector of Yehuda, isn't this a proof that we don't follow the opinion of Yehuda? The Tanan, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, Haresha Yitzarach Lichtas Hashem. Somebody needed to write Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah. Niskaven Licht of Yehuda, and he made a mistake and wrote Yehuda, V'tav Lahit B'dalad. So he wrote Hashem Shem without the kavana. The halach is, mavel of kalmas makachay. Just rewrite the Shem Hashem. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's not the proper way, as we explained, because it lacks emzek keli van veyu. So here we see that you can't correct the Sefer Torah, not like Rabbi Yehuda said. Answers the Gemara field time Rabbi Yehuda. This Gemara could follow the opinion of Yehuda. At kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda, when did Rabbi Yehuda say you could correct a Shem Hashem that was written improperly? B'chod askara. One shame you didn't write properly, you could correct it by rewriting it or writing over it. At the Kula Sefer Torah, but if you have a whole Sefer Torah, that all the shames were written improperly, loy. That Sefer Torah can never be corrected. It looks like very ugly and even Rabbi Yehuda would say it's possible. Says the Gemara, who does the Kamei Deravua? Amalei Sefer Torah Shekusafti Leplani, Sefer Torah that I wrote for that person, Gvilim Shloi Levaratin Lashman. I did not prepare the parchment Lashma. Amalei Sefer Torah Biyadmi. Who's holding the Sefer Torah? Amalei Biyad Lekeach. It's not in my hands. Amalei Mitoich Shatan Nem Lehafzit Zcharcha. If you're saying that the Sefer Torah is possible and you don't deserve any payment because you didn't write it on proper parchment, at the Nemen Lehafzit Sefer Torah. Ask the Gemara, or Maishtam Ad Rav Ami. But Rav Ami, we said that when the person said that he wrote the Sefer Torah improperly, he's not believed if he's not holding the Sefer Torah anymore. And he's saying that he is believed if he's not holding the Sefer Torah. Answer the Gemara, Hossam Ikla Meimer. There the person, we could say he made a mistake. Tabid Rabbi Yirmiyah. He thought that the Sefer Torah is not completely lost. You correct it by writing the shame over. Hocha. Here the person, by him saying that the parchment wasn't prepared properly, Kivin the Kamashat Kule Agri, so he won't get any payment. So since he's not going to get any payment, it's obvious that what he's saying that the Sefer Torah is possible is true. V'amar Eimer Kushtakam, it's obvious. First you say Eimer, we doesn't just mean that we think so, it's obvious that if he's ready to lose all of his wages, he must be saying the truth that the Sefer Torah is possible, even when the Sefer Torah is no longer in his hands. That means even though normally Abaya and even Rava under certain circumstances say that once it's no longer in my hands, I'm not believed. In this case, since I'm prepared to lose all of my wages, it's a proof that even though it's no longer in my hands, I ought not to be believed.